Hello, this is Chris with the Bloomington Pentagraph for Monday, June 2nd. We'll begin today's reading on the front page, Come Sail Away Safely. Illinois Conservation Police offer boating tips from Clinton. There are a lot of safety considerations when it comes to taking the boat out on the water. Life jacket, sunscreen, drinking water, fuel, weather. But there's one thing that might come as a surprise to some, fire. There's plenty of water here, said Trent Reeves, a conservation police officer with the Illinois Department of Natural Resources, for nearly two decades. But believe me, when boats catch on fire, especially fiberglass boats, they burn to the waterline, and they burn very quickly. Boaters may not naturally think about a fire extinguisher when embarking on a day of water recreation, but it's something that's going to come in handy. IDNR employs upward of 200 conservation police officers, sometimes called game wardens, across the state. Their job responsibilities change from season to season. And during the summertime, that means ensuring people are being safe on the water. Last year, Illinois waters saw 63 reportable boating accidents that led to 32 injuries and 15 deaths. There were 70 accidents with 37 injuries and 12 deaths the prior year. There are several safety checks that all boaters should follow when captaining a water vessel, but some of the most basic include life jackets and fire extinguishers. The biggest thing, obviously, is life jackets, especially for children. If they're under the age of 13, they need to be wearing their life jacket at all times while the boat's underway. All boats must have a U.S. Coast Guard approved personal flotation device, abbreviated as PFD, commonly known as life jacket, for every person on board. Vessels longer than 16 feet must carry a throwable PFD like a ring buoy. And it's important to make sure the potentially life-saving equipment is in good condition after the boat has been stored all winter. If something's been into your boat over the winter and chewed on them, if your PFD has any hole, rips, tears, punctures, anything like that, it's time to get them replaced. As for fire extinguishers, it's not enough to have just any fire extinguisher on the boat. It has to be a Coast Guard approved model, and it has to be in serviceable condition. Most fire extinguishers have a gauge with a needle that will say whether it's charged or needs to be replaced. Other ones will have a pin that you can pull, and on top of that pin, or on top of the fire extinguisher, there'll either be a yellow or green button. As long as that pin's inserted, you can push that button down, and if it pops back up, it means that there's propellant in there. But the most prevalent risk factor that officers like Reeves and other boaters are looking out for are impaired drivers, said Patrick O'Neill, a longtime boater and bass fishing coach for Windsor and Stewartson Strasburg High Schools. Alcohol is one of the most common factors in boating accidents. People like to have a good time when you're out on the water, and that doesn't always mix. The risk is heightened by the nature of the activity. Boaters have no lane markers to follow, no seat belts, and often little in the way of passenger protection if there is a collision. Illinois Conservation Police officers made 84 arrests last year on charges of operating a boat while intoxicated, the highest number in several years. There were 72 such arrests in 2023, 81 in 2022, and 65 in 2021. Laws around alcohol and boating are similar to those for operating land vehicles, but not exactly the same. It's not illegal for passengers to have alcohol on the boat, but it is illegal to drink and pilot the boat. Same as in a vehicle, the standard for alcohol is at 0.08 blood alcohol level. Another common factor in boating accidents is improper piloting or not knowing the rules of the water. O'Neill accumulated plenty of experience on that front, having been certified to pilot a boat without supervision at the age of 12. You do have to know that most of the people out there seem like they don't boat every day. You've got to always be on the defense. One last safety factor people often overlook, especially on cloudy days, is sunscreen. If you come out here on a day with clouds and you're not wearing sunscreen, you'll find out real quick that you're still going to get a sunburn. People enjoying the water should be applying sunscreen every 90 minutes to 2 hours, depending on what you're doing. They should also be hydrating consistently with water. I've got to say that because even though there's a lot of water in beer, it doesn't really hydrate that well. We want to hydrate with water. Budget passes at 11th hour. Pritzker $55 billion plan stresses fiscal responsibility from Springfield. Democrats in control of the Illinois General Assembly flex their supermajorities to muscle through the $55.2 billion state budget at the 11th hour. For the second year in a row, the spending plan will be balanced by a series of tax hikes and other revenue enhancements totaling more than $1 billion. At the same time, efforts to reform the governance structure of Chicago area public transit agencies and boost funding for public transit across the state hit the brakes. Also fizzling out, at least for now, was an energy package meant to address growing concerns over power grid reliability and rising rates. The Illinois House and Senate each adjourned around 1:30 a.m. Sunday morning, slightly past their scheduled May 31st adjournment date. They passed 432 bills during their 5-month spring session, though perhaps none more important than the state's budget for the fiscal year that begins July 1st. The nearly 3,400-page spending plan and other budget-related bills passed just minutes before midnight on Saturday, roughly 30 hours after the measure was introduced. An associated budget implementation bill and revenue package that included the tax hikes did not emerge until Saturday, giving lawmakers just hours to consider the contents before voting. The package now goes to Governor Pritzker, who said he would sign the plan and described it as a testament to Illinois' fiscal responsibility. In a Sunday morning press conference, Pritzker said the need for new revenue stemmed from Trump, whose policies the governor said have dampened the nation's economic outlook. "The Trump slump is affecting every state," Pritzker said, "and the chaos and uncertainty of the Republicans' proposed cuts to health care and education and jobs have made budgeting well harder than ever before. That's why the Illinois General Assembly and I doubled down on fiscal responsibility. Our deliberations required compromise and tough decisions, especially in those uncertain and turbulent times, but we got the job done for the future of our state and for the well-being of Illinois." The revenue package does not increase personal incomes or sales taxes. However, it hikes the tax on tobacco products, including e-cigarettes and nicotine pouches, from 36% to 45% of the wholesale price. The legislation would add a quarter or 50 cents per wager tax on sports betting companies like DraftKings and FanDuel. The change comes just 1 year after lawmakers, as part of a nearly $750 million revenue package to balance the current year's budget, hike the top tax rates on sports books. Additionally, the measure would change how the state collects taxes on the income earned by foreign entities of U.S. companies and the formula for how income tax is calculated for multiple state corporations with a presence in Illinois. It also banks on revenue from a delinquent tax payment incentive program that top House Democrats estimated would rake in an additional $228 million. State lawmakers entered this year already grappling with flattening revenue following a boost from federal COVID-19 stimulus funds and the post-pandemic economy. But adding to the trouble is the prospect of deep cuts in federal funding to state programs like Medicaid, under a plan being crafted by Trump and congressional Republicans. This uncertainty loomed large over the legislative session. Democrats held a series of hearings highlighting the impact of Trump's policies, from proposed cuts to health care programs to tariffs to immigration. They also passed several resolutions signaling their opposition to the Republican president's policies. In a sense, the situation united Democrats and helped them avoid some scrutiny for the state's already tightening budget picture. That theme continued over the weekend. Erratic leadership in Washington has affected our economic outlook, our revenue projections, and even the threatened federal funding for our most crucial services, State Representative Robin Gable, the House Democratic budget negotiator, said. That's why it's so important that this budget before us today maintains our commitments to the things we value. While Democratic leaders have maintained that the state cannot backfill federal cuts if they reach into the billions, the budget does include the $100 million bridge fund that Pritzker could tap to cover disruptions in revenue. And as in past years, lawmakers included authority permitting state agencies to transfer funds between line items up to a total of 4%, another measure of flexibility in uncertain times. Republicans said the focus on Trump was a red herring. They criticized the proposal for the continued growth in state spending, which has climbed about $15 billion since Pritzker's first budget, a 33% increase that is closer to 10% when adjusted for inflation. There's so much wrong in this budget bill, said Representative Ryan Spain. At the end of the day, this continues to double down on a failed economic strategy in the state of Illinois. And that's why for the last 30 years, not for 1 year, not for a new occupant of the White House, this state has continued to fall behind all other states. Members of the minority party also accused Democrats of loading up the budget with pork projects in Democratic districts while failing to increase wages for direct service professionals who work in group homes that serve people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. Those workers will receive an 80-cent per hour rate increase, which is smaller than the $2 per hour sought by advocates, and the state is reducing the hours it will pay for by 35%. Budgets, they're not just numbers on a piece of paper, said State Senator Sally Turner. They reflect our priorities, and they send a message about who we are and what we value. And unfortunately, this year's budget sends the wrong message to people of the state of Illinois and the people who need us the most. Beyond tax hikes, lawmakers made nearly $400 million in cuts from Pritzker's introduced budget. They also codified the governor's proposed elimination of the Health Benefits for Immigrant Adults program, which provides health care to non-citizen adults between the ages of 42 to 64, regardless of immigration status, who are otherwise ineligible for Medicaid benefits. The program's elimination will save an estimated $330 million, but a similar program for seniors remains in the budget with a $110 million price tag. Pritzker initially proposed a $55.2 billion spending plan in February. The administration and state lawmakers then negotiated finer details behind closed doors. Despite some changes to line items and fluctuations in revenue need to pay for the plan, the final plan reflects the framework the governor laid out and matches the top-line spending total. The budget includes a bit over the $300 million annual increase in K-12 education funding under the state's evidence-based funding formula. However, it also includes a pause on $50 million that has been set aside annually under the formula for property tax relief in school districts with low home values but high property tax rates. The state has now upped K-12 funding nearly $2.5 billion since the new funding formula was signed into law in 2017. Early childhood block grant funding stayed flat at $748 million, while money for the state's universities and community colleges increased $44 million, or about 3%. The Monetary Award Program, a state-funded, need-based grant awarding to Illinois college students, grew by $10 million. In total, about $8.2 billion in new projects received funding from the capital budget, which is largely funded through bonds backed by dedicated sources like the gas tax and revenue generated from gambling. While lawmakers punted on a long-term fix to the state's Tier 2 pension system, The budget includes $75 million to ensure that, at least for the coming year, benefits will meet safe harbor, which is the requirement that pension payouts meet or exceed those of Social Security. Meanwhile, an effort to reform and provide new funds for public transit systems in the state went off the rails. Lawmakers were hoping to pass legislation that would have enacted governing reforms that grant more power to the agency overseeing the Chicago Transit Authority, Metro Commuter Rail, and Pace Suburban Bus, while addressing an estimated $771 million fiscal cliff. Downstate transit agencies were also included in the package, which would have lowered the local cost share for operating dollars from 35% to 25% for districts serving urban areas and to 20% for those serving rural areas. More than $200 million in additional funds would have been raised for downstate transit agencies, but lawmakers had a difficult time locking in a revenue source. As originally proposed, the amount downstate transit agencies receive from state sales tax revenue collected in their service areas have been up from 7.5% to 12.5%. But the bill was amended to change the funding source to a statewide $1.50 delivery fee on retail deliveries, which would have been split 80-20 between Chicago area transit agencies and the 54 downstate agencies. While championed by environmental advocates, the delivery fee was met with staunch opposition from business groups and labeled by some as regressive. While the bill passed the Senate, it failed to receive a vote in the House. One bill that failed to receive a vote in either chamber was an omnibus energy package that, among other things, would have incentivized the build-out of battery storage for power generated by solar and wind and lifted the state's moratorium on the construction of new large nuclear plants. The legislature failed to act today, and consumers and our climate will pay the price. Business interests said they were also committed to a solution this year. And from Clinton, Lake hosts youth tourney. Bass fishing competitors come from across the state. Give a man a fish and you will feed him for a day. Teach young people how to fish and they might start competing against others for the biggest haul. At least that's what Illinois Bass Nation Youth Series was doing at Clinton Lake over the weekend. Roughly 100 young anglers from junior high and high schools across the state cast their lines in the 4,900-acre lake over Saturday and Sunday to see who could bag the largest single fish and the heaviest five-fish haul. The biggest thing to remember when you're talking about these tournaments is this is not simply a fun day of fishing, said Tim Moore, youth director for Illinois Bass Nation. I mean, these anglers go out and most of them have anywhere between 10 and 12 rods with them and a box of tackle, and they're making 500, 600, 700, or 800 casts in a given day. So this is not your bobber and worm fishing. This is competitive bass fishing. The rules for this tournament were relatively simple. They were fishing specifically for largemouth bass, 12 inches and larger. Competitors could keep a total of 5 fish each day for weighing. The heavier the fish, the more points they accrued each day. If they caught more than 5 fish, they could release the smallest and keep only the largest 5 per team. Illinois Bass Nation does a good job celebrating the young fisherfolk who succeed, said Jamie Rednauer, who cheered on her 16-year-old son Oliver, a junior at Charleston High School. I love the way they engage the kids. I love the way they run this. It's clean. When the kids do well, they actually acknowledge that very well. My son, his team won 3rd place at a previous tournament, and they actually got a little check in a plaque. And that makes kids feel really good. This tournament, though, had much bigger implications. The winners will compete in the 2025 Strike King Bassmaster High School National Championship, beginning July 31st at Clark Hills Lake in Georgia. It's going to be the best of the best of the best across the country. Each state is awarded so many berths depending on their trial sizes and their state championship. Illinois Bass Nation Youth Series divides the state into a northern and southern division, something that began when he took over as youth director last year. Clinton Lake made sense as a centralized location for the state tournament, said Moore. With this being our first year with the two divisions, he wanted the divisions to come together somewhere in the central part of the state. Built to cool the Clinton Power Station, the lake offers a nice challenge for young anglers. It has its ups and downs, right? Being a cooling lake, it can be really phenomenal at certain times of the year, and it can be really tough at other times of the year. I mean, it's day to day. That's Illinois fishing in general. There were several factors that anglers have to consider when fishing, like that day's weather, the weather in the weeks leading up to the tournament, and the conditions on the lake and the fish's spawning cycle, to name a few. To that end, it's common practice to carry many different fishing poles on the boat. They bring a lot of poles because they need a different setup for everything they're doing. So ahead of tournament time, Oliver spends a lot of time restringing poles and tying on whatever he's using, and he puts a lot of time and effort into it. While the financial cost is higher than football, her son's other sport, bass fishing teams, usually fundraise to offset the expense. The team in Charleston even sold sponsorship places or whatever on their jerseys, so the team is actually able to help the kids pay for, like, all their entry fees and if they have to stay in a hotel. That's not a tremendous amount out of pocket, short of just getting your poles and getting your lures. For those curious about competitive fishing, Moore recommended parents look to their local high schools or community groups to get started. PBM reform clears house. Bill aims to support rural pharmacies from Springfield. Legislation aimed at reining in the practices of pharmacy benefit managers cleared the Illinois House over the weekend and is now Governor Pritzker's signature away from becoming law. The bill aims to support pharmacy access in rural and underserved areas by targeting PBMs, which function as middlemen between health insurance companies, drug manufacturers, and pharmacies. Created to help manage drug costs for insurers, PBMs are criticized by opponents as too profit-focused and harmful to independent pharmacies, particularly in rural areas. Pritzker indicated in a statement that he will sign the bill, which was a top legislative priority of this session. For far too long, pharmacy benefit managers' business practices have operated with little regulation, transparency, and accountability. Illinois is putting an end to that, Pritzker said. We will lead the nation in bringing transparency to PBM drug pricing. This bill grants the state full access to their books and records so we can follow the money and prevent exploitation of patients. The bill, sponsored by State Senator Dave Kohler and State Representative Natalie Manley, passed the House by a vote of 115-1. This bill holds the pharmacy benefit managers accountable. They now have to reveal how they do business, and as we see drugs and costs in general, mostly for prescriptions, go up every year, there's got to be a reason. This will give us the information we need, and it will help save our pharmacies. Manley said the legislation was long overdue, noting that similar proposals had failed to gain traction for decades. The last significant attempt to rein in PBMs came in 2019. No-brainer legislation takes so much longer than you would expect it to. You've got to have the right appetite in the General Assembly. It's got to be the right time in society, in our communities. It's just all the stars aligned this time. But really, all the work that people did in advance of this mattered to do this. I stand on the shoulders of other people who have worked on the issue before me, Manley said. The measure would curb patient steering by banning PBMs from requiring patients to use affiliated pharmacies. PBMs would also be prohibited from inflating drug costs at non-affiliated or independent pharmacies to incentivize the use of PBM-owned ones. The bill also mandates a greater transparency by requiring PBMs to submit annual drug pricing reports to the Illinois Department of Insurance. It would ban spread pricing, a practice in which PBMs charge insurers or health plans more for a drug than they reimburse the pharmacy, keeping the difference as profit. And it would also require PBMs to pass along 100% of the rebates they receive from drug manufacturers to health plans and patients, rather than retaining a portion for themselves. Some lawmakers raised the possibility of trailer bills to amend the legislation, particularly around the fund administered by the Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity that would provide grants to critical access pharmacies. "We're going to talk about the money," Manley said. "How much money is going to come in? How much money do the pharmacies need? Should we cut it off at $25 million? We don't know. Maybe there's a need for $35 million. Thunberg joins sailboat trip to Gaza from Italy. Climate campaigner Greta Thunberg and 11 other activists set sail Sunday afternoon for Gaza on a ship aimed at breaking Israel's siege of the devastated territory. The sailing boat Madeleine, operated by activist group Freedom Flotilla Coalition, departed from the Sicilian port of Catania in southern Italy. It will try to reach the shores of the Gaza Strip in an effort to bring in some aid and raise international awareness over the ongoing humanitarian crisis. "We are doing this because no matter what odds we are against, we have to keep trying. Because the moment we stop trying is when we lose our humanity. And no matter how dangerous this mission is, it's not even near as dangerous as the silence of the entire world in the face of the live-streamed genocide." Israel, which was founded in the aftermath of the Holocaust, has adamantly rejected genocide allegations against it as an anti-Semitic blood libel. In mid-May, Israel slightly eased its blockade of Gaza after nearly 3 months, allowing a limited amount of humanitarian aid into the territory. Experts have warned that Gaza is at risk of famine if more aid is not brought in. UN agencies and major aid groups say Israeli restrictions, the breakdown of law and order, and widespread looting make it extremely difficult to deliver aid to Gaza's roughly 2 million Palestinians. Among those joining the crew of the Madeleine are Game of Thrones actor Liam Cunningham and Rima Hassan, a French member of the European Parliament who is of Palestinian descent. She was barred from entering Israel due to her active opposition to the Israeli assault on Gaza. The activists expect to take 7 days to get to their destination if they are not stopped. Thunberg, who became an internationally famous climate activist after organizing massive team protests in her native Sweden, was due to board a previous Freedom Flotilla ship last month. And from North Carolina, one person is dead and at least 11 others were injured in a shooting during a party at a Western North Carolina residence. The shooting took place at about 12:45 a.m. Sunday in Hickory, a city in Catawba County. No arrests were made. And Mexico held its first ever judicial election Sunday, stirring controversy and sowing confusion among voters still struggling to understand a process set to transform the country's court system. Mexico's ruling party, Morena, overhauled the court system late last year. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Bloomington Pentagraph for Monday, June 2nd. Please stay tuned.